This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I'm Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And welcome to our one of many Star Wars classics we're going to run this month. Beginning with our two-parter on Princess Leia, who everyone who's listened, you know, I adore her. Carrie Fisher got her honorary star today. Because today is May the 4th as we record it. And, you know, I could have... It's a joke that I make several times in this, but I could have just talked about her on and on and on. And I have had new thoughts since this. So it's one of those things where it makes me very happy. It brings a smile to my face when I think about it. There is a section on Princess Leia in our upcoming book, which you can pre-order at stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com. But I just adore her. I love her so much. I don't know. I'm filled with joy, but
so much joy.
I hope this classic brings you joy as well. So please enjoy this classic episode. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. I am so excited right now.
Yes.
My heart is racing.
Yes.
I couldn't sleep last night.
I like this anticipation of what's happening.
Yes. Because we're finally talking about a hero of mine, Princess Leia, and feminism.
And at this point, this is where like cannons and like sparks should be going off.
Yes.
All the sound effects. I was like, pew, pew, pew.
My brain is like the Death Star exploding. That's what's happening.
There you go. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, this is the longest outline I've ever written.
So long.
It's 21 pages.
I will say, partially, I'm going to say it was my fault because I told you to have at it. This is your project. This is your baby and do it. So I think you held back.
I definitely held back. I definitely was like, at some point, you're going to have to stop or you might just die here researching.
Yeah. I think I told you, I'm like, I'm going to need you to wrap it up now.
Yeah, last night I sent Samantha a text and I circled like how long it was and how many tabs I had left. And she was like, oh God.
That was literally the only response I could give was, oh God.
Yeah. Oh.
And I would go in to look at the outline while I'm working on one thing to see where we were. And I know like day 3 was page 9. Yes. And I was like, oh, shit. It's going to be a long one.
It It definitely is, which means it's a two-parter. So in this one, we're going to focus on the basics of Star Wars and Princess Leia through A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, we're pretty much sticking to the original trilogy. And then there'll be a cliffhanger, and you'll have to wait to figure out what we think about the metal bikini in Return of the Jedi, and Ooh. Then the feminism of Leia, and my own, a personal Annie original on my thoughts of around Luke Skywalker's feminism and the feminism of the Force. So.
Right. And before we start, just to let you know, we did actually do a viewing, social distance viewing, of the trilogy.
The originals.
The originals. Because I, to many people's chagrin, have never actually watched a full Star Wars movie. And I will say, if you know anything about the How Stuff Works family / iHeartMedia family, there are some diehards in here. I mean, true diehards. Holly yeah. Fry was very, very disappointed in the fact that I had never seen one of these. She was very forgiving.
Yeah.
But disappointed. And I made sure that I let her know, yes, guess what? We're watching it. And I feel like she was pretty excited for us. Mm-hmm. But yes, I have never actually seen a full Star Wars movie. I've been around it quite a while. You know, it's been out there on random TVs at bars and restaurants because it is played a lot. And of course, I've seen it while flipping past, while channel surfing, but never fully committed to watch any of these. I will say it was never part of my childhood. It was never a part of anybody in my family's childhood. I'm going to blame the orphanage that I was in for a while. We didn't watch movies. Come on. And again, I'm a little older, so I would have been right outside of when it was popular, I think, right before, right after. You know what I mean? Because it came out in the 70s. Popularity 80s, hit again in the 90s.
Yeah.
70s, 80s. So it's kind of all that time. And I will say, after months
yeah.
of begging.
Yeah, and a love actual video.
Uh-huh. Yes, by the way, y'all, she did this whole really sweet video about how much she cared about me with an ending that said, please watch Star Wars with me. Like, essentially was what went down. And like, even some bartering. Like, I almost got some free luggage out of this. I had to step back. I was like, that's cruel. That's mean. But then she's like, I'll watch whatever you want to watch.
I will.
I haven't decided what that's going to be yet, though, by the way. That we finally committed to a day of marathoning in the midst of the pandemic. I mean, what else am I going to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so with that, I decided to go ahead and write. So this is what I wrote before she started the actual outline, y'all. The 21-page outline of my views of what I knew of the movie before I watched the actual movie. So I know Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And he was involved with this, obviously, and the iconic Carrie Fisher, who was an amazing woman. And, of course, Mark Hamill,
mm-hmm.
your crush.
Yes.
I know. With that, I know Luke, I Am Your Father, Chewbacca, and the dark side, of course. I remember the weird giant slime thing that, for some reason, imprisons and grossly sexualizes Leia, and that there's a gold robot.
Yeah.
R2-D2. I know those letters. I don't know why, but I know those letters.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, space in the future with lots of laser guns, which apparently I found out later, they don't know how to aim. They don't know how
they
to
don't
use.
Work.
It doesn't
no.
really do things. And of course, laser swords. And I'm not going to lie, I mixed some of the scenes up with Spaceballs because I had a roommate who loved that movie. And also, we would watch that together. And of course, I mean, John Candy. He should have been in Star Wars, right? That was a missed opportunity. Who doesn't love John Candy? In this, you know, I did go in thinking this may make or break my relationship with Annie. But I will be here to tell you that it didn't.
Yay!
Except there was one of those moments when the holiday special came on. And I was like, what in the hell is this? And why? I did question a lot of things.
Well, that is fair. One of my favorite tweets from fellow podcasters, Stuff You Should Know. They did a whole episode on the holiday special, and it was something like, no one can explain what happened that night in 1977. It's infamously awful. Yes, we're still friends. We made it through. And I do love how this kept happening when we were watching it, too. We kept saying it's in the future, but it's actually a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Far away.
Yes.
And you did the thing. You got the line wrong.
It's true. I did. I know. It's actually, no, I am your father.
Yes.
I got it now. But yes, as many, as we know, as many yes. have gotten that wrong, Luke, I am your father. It's no, I am your father. But hey. I got it. I've got that in my mind now.
That's a whole, it's a whole thing. There's been YouTube videos about why we do that. So it's all good. And I also had to get pretty good at translating Samantha's Star Wars speak. Like gold, I don't think you ever got C-3PO. It was always like gold robot or gold man or gold.
Gold dude.
Gold, and then there's like baby jet, which was the Y-Wings.
It was a baby jet.
So I had to get good at that. I will say for me, asking you to watch Star Wars is like a proposal. It's my love language. It's like sharing a piece of my soul. I was really nervous about it, honestly. I was really nervous about doing this, even though I've had the outline for like 8 months.
It's true.
I'm embarrassed by how important it is to me and then angry that I'm embarrassed about it.
Yeah, and I don't think you need to be embarrassed at all because, first of all, as a good friend, you shared a part of yourself with me that you love, and I love that. Secondly, you're really good at translating my Star Wars speak. You did better than the partner who watched it with me, and he was also excited that I was finally watching it. And again, you were the one that convinced me to watch it, not him.
Yes.
Just as a reminder. But yeah, I definitely may have called the smaller jets baby jets.
Uh-huh.
I may have called a few robots, baby Goldman robot, yes. robot man, dick. I could call him a dick a couple of times. I'm like, dude, that guy's a dick. He just keeps running away. What's wrong with him?
Well.
But yes, I had to create nicknames, shorthands, in order for me to figure out who was what and why and just, again, just why. To be fair. That may have been more with the holiday special of like, what is happening and why?
Oh, well,
but
yeah.
Yeah, I digress.
That is totally fair. I actually like, I saved my text message chain because I only watched that for the first time like a year ago. And I saved my text message chain with my friend and I love it. It is so funny because I also had a similar reaction because people can prepare you, but they can't really prepare you. It is that bad.
It is so bad.
Anyway. A brief rundown of my experience with Star Wars fandom, because I actually don't remember a time having not seen them. I saw the original trilogy when I was 4 years old, and I loved them, even at four, I was like, I don't buy this Force thing. I don't think that's real. They are super nostalgic for me, even watching them. Now I remember Obi-Wan always, my dad always quoted Obi-Wan, and I can't hear Obi-Wan's voice without thinking about my dad doing Yoda and Darth Vader voices with my brothers. I fell in love with my first crush, Luke Skywalker. I would pause the frame and kiss his cheek.
Oh, and yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there for anyone who may have a connection with Mark Hamill. Her goal, y'all, her goal has been to get a tweet from Mark Hamill or a reaction. So we got to make this happen. We got to make this dream come true.
I think I might actually, I wouldn't die, but it would be a close call. Like, I'm so shy.
Oh, I think you would fall out. I think you would fall out for sure.
It's really funny because I keep talking about like this scheme and my scheme is literally like tweet at him. but I do have this plan where I'm going to recreate the original trilogy from memory, which I've got that down, I think.
Wait, didn't you already start doing that? Didn't you say you started it?
I have been practicing, perhaps.
Okay. I feel like I heard that story.
Oh, yeah. It's a work in progress, and I have costumes and props, and it's going to be really silly and hopefully fun, and I'm going to release just chunks of it every day on Instagram, because otherwise it would be ridiculous. But maybe then Mark Hamill will notice me and my life will be complete. Meaning.
And just by the way, as she talks about costumes, she's actually wearing
I did
a
this.
Now.
I'm in the Rebel X-Wing flight suit.
And we will have pictures of this for sure. Also, I talked to her an hour before we started recording and she was in another costume and she did a wardrobe change before we started.
I did it all for you, Samantha.
And you know what? I appreciate it. I appreciate the commitment and the love. And I know you're going to say it's cosplay, but I think this is just your life. And I enjoy that even more.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
You know, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I have spent more than one night wondering what it means that my first crush was Luke Skywalker, and I'm dressing as my first crush.
I mean, enjoy it.
I got to take care of my mental health somehow. I got this whole evolution of Luke Skywalker cosplay. I'm probably just, one of my goals is every week to wear a costume at work, and this is the second time I've done it this week because I was the Winter Soldier earlier, so nailing it.
You're right. And if you didn't see our stories, she did do the podcast with Movie Crush. You should check it out. And she is in full costume that she put on. It wasn't a flashback. She put on for that specific episode.
Yes. I think Chuck thought I might have lost my mind in quarantine. But more about that later. So, I had like all the toys and the books and the games. We had the original VHSs and I couldn't watch the last 30 minutes of any of them because they were overworn.
I think that you would tell us, this is the part that my video stops.
I know. And it was always like right at the epic climax, like, ah! So for younger listeners who might not know, this was a thing where if you watched a VHS so much, the tape would get worn and you just couldn't watch the rest. I had this board game that I loved where you played along with the VHS. It was like my favorite. My good friend Katie, who is my neighbor, she and I used to recreate Jedi lightsaber battles with the lights off and the music playing. We had a Jedi training course. I created a fictional Star Wars character when I was 8 named Tara Polaris.
Which, by the way, great name.
Thank you. Thank you. And I would go dressed as her on Halloween. People would be like, oh, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I'd be like, Tara Polaris. Thank you.
Wait, is she in your fan fiction?
No, she's not my current fan fiction, which, by the way, is 180 pages long, you guys. I did write The Adventures of Tara Polaris as an 8-year-old. And unfortunately, I think they've been lost in the great purge of high school where I burned everything that I'd ever written.
Oh, no.
I know. I would love to read about Tara Polaris.
That's such a good name. I feel like that should be a character.
Maybe I'll introduce her into my fan fiction.
Yes, please.
Actually, what I wanted to do, because I was going to read a bit of my Star Wars fan fiction, but it's all really depressing. I think the angst in it could kill a person. So I was thinking that I could put out the offer of listeners sending in prompts, and I will try to write something, and maybe we can read it.
Is it going to be like a choose-your-own-adventure?
I mean, the it could be. But in fan fiction, usually, like, there'll be one-shot prompts. Like, what if the twin swap is a big thing in fan fiction? What if Luke and Leia were swapped? What would happen in this scene? Mm-hmm. So, just putting that out there, everybody. and I had, like, all the posters and the stars. I had 3,000 of those sticky stars on my ceiling. I probably... Right now, I'm on a bit of a Star Wars binge, and I think it does have to do with the anxiety around quarantine and pandemic, because it started right around then. Mm-hmm. And it is something that I find really nostalgic and comforting. So once a week, I watch something Star Wars related.
I mean, that's not a bad thing. And I just tweeted actually in my own personal account about how there's a research about during times of trauma, during and people with anxiety will rewatch a lot of things, mm-hmm. which is absolutely me. But I do want to call you out on one thing.
Uh-oh.
So during our adventures in watching these movies or marathoning these movies, they did turn on the holiday special, which, by the way, apparently the version we had is double.
It was way longer than the version I have.
Right. So I think you had like 50 minutes and our version was an hour and 45 minutes.
Yes.
And it was torture. So I was like, look. Halfway through, I stopped. I was like, I can't do this. I'll be back when when you're finished, whatever. I leave. I come back, and they have restarted from the freaking beginning of the trilogies, these movies. And I was like, what is happening? We just watched 7.5 hours of this. What is going on?
It's really funny, too, because when you came in, I didn't realize you were behind us at first. And you said something like, what are you doing? And I turned around like a child had been caught doing something wrong. I said, she caught us watching them again.
Really was. Everybody was like, huh? What?
It was quite embarrassing, yes.
It should have been embarrassing, but I was just more in shock of like, are you freaking kidding me? You guys. I don't know if I as much as I love things, I've never loved something this much.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this for this episode, the level of love I have for it. Which I'm trying to going through some of it right now. One of the last things Samantha and I did before quarantine was we went to Disneyland and we rode the new ride, Rise of the Resistance. And it's a huge ordeal. And I almost cried when I found out we were going to get to ride
it. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and interrupt you because I need to talk about the overall process as well as the level and the drama that ensued. So first of all, we were in LA to do a conference. And of course, while we were in LA, must go to Disneyland. Because
yep.
While we were in Florida, we went to Disney World. So it only made sense. In preparation of going to Florida, of course, Annie had to talk to our expert.
Yes.
Holly Fry, who, by the way, if you're not following her Twitter account, you should, because she has daily updates of her love for Star Wars.
Yes.
As well, including all the mini dresses that she has made and clothing she has made in
yeah.
dedication to Star Wars. It is hardcore and amazing.
You've seen her tattoo, right? Awesome.
Yes, yes. So all of these things. So Annie decided to get the best strategic way on getting this ride. And if you don't know about this ride, you can't just get on it. You have to reserve, and you have to reserve way in advance or you are not going to ride that ride. And not only did we get to the park 2 hours before it opened.
Uh-huh.
In very
cold
LA.
Yep.
It was so cold that we also walked in before the actual park opened. You get to go into the entrance and just pretty much stand there and wait. You could see a crowd of people, not only us, holding their phones out and in getting ready for whatever this reservation system was. So as it opens, immediately Annie's like, okay, you gotta do this, this, and this. All three of us, because there's three of us, got ready and did the thing. Now, as they did the thing, I know that was very flippant, but it was a whole thing, by the way. You have to download the app, get to this ride, reserve on this ride as a crew,
yeah.
whatever, whatnot.
It's a whole thing.
Andy is watching, and as we sit there, and one of us finally shouts, we got it. Not only does Andy and the entirety of the Disney crowd let out this, woo, in the middle of nothing. Like, you're like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
But Andy turns around away from us in silence and turns back around and she's like, y'all, oh my God, I can't believe, I just can't believe, oh my God. And I see tears in her eyes and I'm going, "Oh my God, Annie, are you crying?" And you were like, "No, yes, it's just so good. It's just gonna be so good." And in anticipation of the fact that we were actually going to ride the ride, and I will say, it is a really good ride.
It's excellent.
My own Donald was in it, and I didn't know he was a bad guy in the newer movies. Mm-hmm. I still love him. It's fine. I'm a fan. but it was a... Oh gosh. I forgot. I also got yelled at by one of the stormtrooper dudes because I couldn't figure out how to follow a line.
It was quite funny.
I'm traumatized by that moment. I'm not going to lie. I feel like, those guys are coming to get me.
He blamed you on that the rebellion was losing, or the resistance. Yeah.
But yes, the reaction on your face, the reaction on the crowd was so big.
Oh my God.
I was actually taken aback.
Yeah, it was wild. It was wild because it was like total silence for 30 seconds and then
it really was
screaming.
The shouts, yeah. The shouts of celebration was unreal.
Mm-hmm. The level I've reached is I now fantasize, like legitimately fantasize, about getting to see these movies without knowing the ending of Return of the Jedi. I've read old speculation articles about how people thought it was going to end. What did it mean? Luke was wearing all black. He's going to turn evil. And I interview my older friends about it. Tell me what was it like. What did you think was going to happen? And I want it so badly.
Yeah. And even as a person who never actually watched or cared about these movies previously, I still knew how it ended. So yeah, that's definitely a thing. As iconic as these movies are, it's inevitable. You kind of know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about that for a minute, just the cultural impact these movies have had and why it's important that we're talking about it. I did want to throw in there, because yes, I was recently on Movie Crush for The Winter Soldier. I'm going to be on there next for The Empire Strikes Back, that I have been annoying Samantha with my new belief that they're in many ways the same movie. I've just been texting her like evidence I find. I recently discovered the Sebastian Stan Mark Hamill viral thing.
Which I'm really surprised by, because I saw that.
I don't know how I missed it.
I know.
And A New Hope, the first one / the fourth one, came out on May 25th, which is the same day the Winter Soldier's true identity as Bucky was revealed in the comics, and the day my parents got married. It's a special day. And also Holly's birthday.
Super fan, expert. She's not a super fan. She's a Star Wars expert.
Oh, God. Yeah. We were joking that we need to make a chart of, like, the level of Star Wars fandom. She's the top.
Yes.
I'm the...
You're the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even, like, I think my partner who also loves it, I was like, "No, you don't meet Annie. You're a little lower than her." And then myself, I was like, "I'm at the bottom." And like, well, I can't say I'm at the bottom anymore. I finally watched it. So now I'm a novice.
Yes, yes. A novice, a Jedi Padawan, as they say.
Which I still don't know what that means.
That's okay.
Do or do not. There is no try.
So yeah, that's kind of where we are on our levels of fandom. And today I'm so excited to talk about Leia Organa, aka Princess Leia. We are mostly going to focus on the original trilogy because we talked about Leia in the new trilogy / the sequels in our Feminism of Star Wars episode, which I think came out 2 years ago on May the 4th, of course. But we'll touch on that for sure, because there are a lot of interesting things and conversations to be had. And as a kid, I totally loved her, which was a big deal because I'm kind of ashamed to admit this, but usually, like, I was fine with female characters, but they were never my favorite, or I didn't even necessarily like them, really. And I think that might be because female characters aren't written as well often. But I loved her, and I thought she was so funny and smart and brave, and I did love her hair. I thought it was awesome.
She had good hair.
She did. And I asked my friend Katie, who I've mentioned. She was, like, my Star Wars partner in crime. And I asked her what she could remember of Princess Leia as a kid, and she wrote me back, "I thought that she was beautiful. I loved her white dress. I thought she was badass in Return of the Jedi. I loved when she was the bounty hunter. I did think Han was too mean for her. I remember liking her voice and how precise she was when she said her words. I hated the needle scene." A needle scene is very scary, yes. And we have talked before about the importance of costuming in our Feminism of Star Wars episode. And I do think there's something to be said for the fact that most of her costumes are functional, but also feminine. Don't worry, yes, we're going to talk about the metal bikini. Oh, my God. And I also forgot to mention that in the original ending of Return of the Jedi, Han dies and Luke becomes Darth Vader and orders the destruction of all the rebellion.
And listeners, just so you know, she did tell me this during the movie viewing.
Oh, God. I only recently found that out and I blew my mind.
Yeah. I think there were so many things that you were talking about, including the transition for loose outerwear.
Yeah.
I guess is the best way to say it.
White to gray to black. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 definitely. So there was a lot of conversation that was had between my partner and Annie, and there are so many things that I'm like, I don't know what is happening, but this nerd out is amazing from afar and also annoying. I don't know what to do right now. I'm both impressed and annoyed.
We're endearing but annoying. I will take
it. It was so endearing. I was like, oh, I love that they have each other to talk about this, but what is happening?
Well, that's probably how the rest of this episode will go. So apologies in advance. I did want to talk about the cultural impact of Star Wars because this is something that's been on my mind since we read Whiskey and Ribbons for our book club. And there were all these Star Wars references in it. And it got me to thinking what it must be like to be a part of something that big where you could just be reading. So I never would have imagined there would be multiple Star Wars references in that book. Where a character you played or a story you're a part of is just kind of ubiquitous. And so I actually started making a graph, keeping count of all the Star Wars references I encounter every day where I'm not, like, not expecting to find them or hear them. And it's between 5 and 10. I'm going to make a chart and I'm going to post it. It's great.
So I got to ask, it is 3:30 today. We've been recording since 2. How many references thus far before this?
6.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It really is stunning how many it just pops up. And I'm like, oh, hey, there you go. I think it was Deadeye Mind Trick and is the last one I heard today. So in case you somehow don't know, Star Wars is a science fantasy space opera franchise created by George Lucas of currently 11 movies, TV shows, books, comics, toys, video games, theme parks, dedicated conventions, radio dramas, music parodies, musical parodies, a la Weird Al, and documentaries. It's been involved in science, politics, pretty much everything that you can imagine, and inspired a massive fan community. The memes, art, cosplay, fan fiction. Experts have written about Star Wars as an American mythology, inspiring people to create their own thing. It's now owned by Disney and has an estimated net worth of $70 billion and holds the Guinness World Record for most successful film merchandising franchise. When the original trilogy came out, beginning with A New Hope in 1977 and followed by The Empire Strikes Back in 1980 and Return of the Jedi in 1983, it changed Hollywood. It revolutionized special effects. I annoyed Samantha with the paper I wrote in 5th grade all about the special effects of Star Wars and the Nike shoe that they, for some reason, took out of Return of the Jedi.
She did mention when it was and where it was.
Yeah, I did. I was like, it was back there. And things like industrial light and magic still around today came out of this, and sound effect systems that we still use. And for better or worse, because you will find people that really think this was the end of cinema, the understanding that you could make more from merchandising than the films themselves. It also introduced that idea of toy sets and collectibles. It was the first blockbuster series. It started the whole trend of having summer blockbuster releases. It modeled the trilogy story structure and was the first to contain many genres in one movie. The plot twist. And The Empire Strikes Back is one of the most influential plot twists in history. And A New Hope was the first to surpass the $300 million mark. Adjusted for inflation, it's still one of the highest grossing movies of all time. And it revitalized interest in space-based entertainment, making way for the Star Trek motion picture series and one of my other faves that Samantha was also very patient with me about, Alien, among so many other things. Some comic experts say the popularity of the Star Wars comic single-handedly saved Marvel. It goes beyond that, too. Harry Potter was influenced by Star Wars, so many things. They came out during a time when there was all these feelings of hopelessness, and the stories of the time reflected that, the stories that people were watching in movie theaters, but not Star Wars.
Right. So, again, by the way, these are all Annie's research things, and I just wanted to be in here for a voice because her love for it. There's no way I could ever match it. So from Fandango.com, in its 40 years of existence as an entertainment property, it has also become a cultural entity unlike any other. A phenomenon that has probably influenced pop culture more than anything else in our time. Contributing editor at Wired, Daniel Nye Griffiths, wrote, "In maybe one of a million universes does George Lucas' combination of narrative structure of a fairy tale with model making and aesthetic of a downbeat, broken future sci-fi movies of the 70s even get made. In one out of a billion, it turns out to be the most successful independent creative enterprises of all time."
I think of that a lot because I know we all have heard the stories of the actors coming on set and seeing like a walking trash can and thinking, oh, my career is ruined.
Right. You told us about Harrison Ford trying to leave several times and then coming back.
Well, and it totally influenced the plot of the movies. That's why the carbonite scene exists. I can see it. Like, it just all of these things had to turn out correctly. And amazingly, they did, or else it could have been a very ridiculous, like, flop.
Right. And by the way, during the movie, the entirety of the time, while Annie was talking about this is what was happening, this could have been what happened, my partner was like, this is where they put CGI backwards, and they didn't need to do this, and they made this.
Yeah.
So it was a really interesting context from a person who's never seen it for them to tell me how it changed.
Yeah, and so we were watching the Disney Plus version, and for people in the know, like, Star Wars has been changed so many times, and I actually really, really want to see the original cuts without all the changes so badly, and I think maybe it'll happen for me soon. Very excited. Former Wired.co.uk writer Michael Rundel wrote, "I'm fascinated by Star Wars because of what a world without Star Wars would look like. No Star Wars means no Lucasfilms or LucasArts. Would there still be a golden age of video games without Monkey Island, Full Throttle, or Sam & Max? One of the many incredible things about Star Wars is that every time you think you've mapped out every aspect of how different a world without Star Wars would be, you think of something else. Fan or not, Star Wars is a part of you, and you are a part of it. Like the travels of Odysseus, the ravages of our ancient meddlesome gods, the trials of Superman, and the heroic journeys of Mario, you can't avoid it."
Right. The original trilogy told the classic tale of good versus evil, a hero's journey following Luke Skywalker, Leia Organa, and Han Solo as they fight the evil empire. They won numerous awards, including Oscars, and regularly rank among the top 10 movies of all time across multiple publications and market surveys. Darth Vader is one of the most memorable villains of all time. I think it also has something to do with James Earl Jones.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure. And Luke Skywalker is so iconic that he's often used to teach the hero's journey in school and is used in child psychotherapy to make things understandable between both child and therapist, framing the Force as self-healing and the child as Luke and themselves as Obi-Wan, which is a really big assumption.
It's supposed to be like, one day you won't need me anymore.
Right.
And you'll be able to do this with the Force on your own.
I don't think that's true.
Okay, well, we have a lot more to go over. Oh my gosh. But first, we're going to pause for a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. It's time you did so.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So just a broad overview of some culture things. You've got, when it comes to Star Wars, you've got sayings known worldwide, even if people don't know where they come from, like Jedi mind trick, you're my only hope, may the Force be with you. I am your father, evil empire. And then you've got the holidays, may the Fourth be with you, and Revenge of the Fifth.
Which, by the way, we watched for May the 4th.
Yes, we did. It was a celebration.
It was a celebration for some. And in 2001, UK survey, almost 400,000 people wrote in Jedi as their religion, making it the fourth largest religion. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. There's a Church of Jediism. And in Texas, there's a registered Church of Jediism, which, by the way, are you a part of that?
No. I don't know if there's a test.
Just checking.
Samantha. and then songs. I always think of, for me, Run the Jewels, Skywalker Talk, because I'm the real Darth Vader. I think that's from Banana Clip. Wu-Tang Clan, Kanye West, BC Boys, Blink-182, Justin Bieber, the Nerf Herders, which is a band named after the Star Wars insult. And they played the theme song for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So you got all these musical references too. And the music itself in the movie is amazing and iconic. Many view it as one of the best movie scores of all time.
I think we try to plot a way to get that Darth Vader / Death Star
at my
theme
funeral.
Song somehow. That's like you know this is going to happen. Someone's going to die soon.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually a member of the John Williams fan club, and I have been since fifth grade.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I know.
So it obviously also influenced art. Banksy has used Star Wars imagery in his own art. Other movies have replicated Star Wars posters like National Lampoon's Vacation and European Vacation.
And then sports. Major League Baseball gets in on May the 4th celebrations, encouraging costumes and themed giveaways. I've definitely been to those. The Yankees are known as the Evil Empire during this, and they play the Imperial March at their home games.
And as you say that, I can hear the song in my head,
yeah.
Even though I've not watched the movie but once.
It's catchy.
Also, in politics, so the same year Return of the Jedi came out in 1983, Star Wars got wrapped up in Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative, which was a system of ground and space-based lasers and missiles meant to protect against a nuclear attack. Critics called it Star Wars, which Reagan, of course, leaned into.
Yep.
Reagan also called the USSR the Evil Empire. And at one point, the U.S. military had an idea to create a First Earth Battalion made up of folks who could walk through walls, be invisible, see the future, and kill goats with a look.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they were called Jedi Warriors. I definitely couldn't let go of the fact that every single bad guy had an odd Russian accent.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too, because I love that Carrie Fisher was able to joke about this herself later, but Leia has kind of a strange English accent in A New Hope that goes away. Even a few weeks ago, this happened when Trump's campaign manager compared Trump's campaign to the Death Star, seemingly not realizing that, one, the Death Star is bad and it's for the bad guys, and two, it always gets destroyed. He got a very big Star Wars schooling from the internet for that. Mm-hmm. And A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back have been added to the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress for being, quote, culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant.
Right, just their own, beginning montage with the writing, the script.
Uh-huh.
You know what that is.
Yeah. and science. Star Wars has played a role in actual science. For instance, when Will.i.am and correspondents appeared on CNN as holograms, one of the correspondents said, "It feels like I follow in the tradition of Princess Leia. Bionic arms like those sported by Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, some of them are named after Luke Skywalker. A company out of Hong Kong made a pretty spot-on lightsaber. The military is working on AT-AT-like machines, which are the big snow creature things that they knock over with their harpoons."
Is that what those are?
Yeah.
I just call them the monster things.
I got you. I got you, Samantha. Yeah. And then there's a Death Star bug zapper.
Right. In the popular Smithsonian 1999 Star Wars exhibit, Star Wars, The Magic of Myth, lives online, and the Millennium Falcon was the inspiration by the name of Elon Musk's Falcon series launch vehicles, which, yes, you could absolutely see that in.
Oh, yeah.
And several organisms have been named after Star Wars terms and characters.
So, okay, it's a big deal, is what we're trying to say, mostly me and Samantha supporting me. It's not without its faults, obviously. There's hardly any people of color. Leia is pretty much the only woman in the originals. And that isn't much better in the prequels. There's sexualization. There's definitely toxic fandom. I think it might be one of the most toxic fandoms. And we've talked about that before, specifically now when a lot of mostly men feel that the new ones are made by social justice warriors with a social justice warrior agenda. Some cinephiles do feel like it ruined cinema forever because we pivoted away from what in their mind is artistic films to movies that make a lot of money for children. But in a lot of ways, it connected with so, so many of us. And for a lot of girls and women, Princess Leia specifically was a feminist icon. And we'll get into that after a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So let's finally arrive at Princess Leia. And thank you for letting me indulge in my Star Wars fandom and continue. Because just like you can't separate that out, the influence of Star Wars from our culture, you really cannot separate the enormous influence of Princess Leia on our culture and the influence she had on countless other fictional characters, from Ellen Ripley to Hermione Granger to Katniss Everdeen, so many. So general sketch of her, Leia Organa is the princess of the planet Alderaan, a member of the Imperial Senate and the leader of the Rebel Alliance. This is all by the time she's 19, just FYI. According to George Lucas, she also has the Star Wars equivalent of a PhD. Through the series, we learn that she is the twin sister of Luke Skywalker and daughter of Darth Vader. She was raised by Senator Bail Organa and Queen Breha Organa. She goes on in the new trilogy to found the Resistance as a general against the First Order. She was played by Carrie Fisher, and the character has appeared in many books, comics, television shows, games, and she has gone on to become iconic. The cinnamon bun hairstyle, which George Lucas attributes to a hairstyle of female Mexican revolutionaries, the metal bikini, and has been adopted by many as a feminist icon. She's been parodied, celebrated, and appeared on stamps in the U.S. and the U.K. And she's appeared on all sorts of merchandising and in all sorts of merchandising. After Disney acquired Star Wars, they had to backtrack a statement that there were no plans for Princess Leia merchandise after it caused so much backlash. So much backlash. There's still not as much as there should be. But
right.
Carrie Fisher allegedly was told she had to lose 10 pounds for the role, which is gross and totally still happens. For the new series, she was reportedly pressured to lose 35 pounds. I've been told something like this more than once, so this is still absolutely a thing.
Oh, absolutely. Ageism and then, of course, weight and all of those things. And race. And Fisher has spoke openly about how she regrets signing away her likeness, which wasn't really a thing at the time. She told the Daily Beast, there's no merchandising tied to movies. No one could have known the extent of the franchise. Not that I don't think I'm cute or anything, but when I look in the mirror, I didn't think I was signing away anything of value. Lately, I feel like I'm Minnie Mouse. The identity of Princess Leia so eclipsed any other identity that I've ever had.
Yes, I could see that.
Yeah, that sounds like she lost a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. She even said, like, she's kind of very, I don't know if good-natured, but, you know, she's got her classic funny view on it. But she said, she said if she found out that Natalie Portman was making merchandising, she'd be really mad for Queen Amidala. Leia's part diplomat, spy, soldier, leader. She's passionate. She's caring, brash, loud, strong, defiant, assertive, angry, snarky, not afraid to speak her mind and fight for what's right. She first appeared as, a 19-year-old in A New Hope in a virginal floor-length dress that's absent of cleavage. Although Fisher recounted George Lucas telling her not to wear a bra with it because, quote, there is no underwear in space because your body expands, but your bra does not, and it would strangle you. So Fisher used to joke she wanted it reported that however she died, it should be reported, I drowned in moonlight strangled by my own bra. And that was a very popular tweet after she did die. It's immediately established that Princess Leia is not going to shy away from a blaster. And later we find out that her actions at the beginning of the movie saved the entire rebellion, the only force that was opposing the Empire. She is captured by the intimidating Darth Vader, but stands up to him and withstands his torture, doesn't reveal anything. So she is damseled, but she's still fighting and she's still making these snarky comments. And when she is rescued, she pretty quickly takes charge. She literally takes the blaster from Luke's hands and comes up with a plan to get them out, jumping into a smelly, disgusting garbage disposal, which is hardly a traditional princess decision. She also immediately sees through Luke and the stormtrooper getup when he says, he's here to rescue you. She's like, nah, and is very unimpressed with him and their poorly thought out escape plan. And I do love thinking about, like, Luke, whose brain is full of adventures, envisions himself as the hero coming to save the beautiful princess. He says he's here to rescue her. And she's like, excuse me, you're who now? Kind of immediately shutting him down. And I also love that her leadership in general isn't questioned as a woman. Like, it's never like, oh, we shouldn't listen to her because she's a woman. It's more Han being like, I don't listen to anybody.
Right. I do like the back and forth with Han and the Han being like, what's happening? Who are you? What's happening?
Yes.
So before that happens, her planet is destroyed by the Death Star to make a statement. And I was like, oh my God, they blew up a planet. What just happened? And in an instant, she loses her family, her friends, her stuff, her home. And this could have destroyed her, but it didn't.
Alyssa Rosenberg at the Washington Post wrote about her, Leia's nerves as a revolutionary are clear from the moment she arrives on the screen. She takes shots at the stormtroopers boarding her ship, gets stunned with a blaster in her hand, then has the audacity to try to make Darth Vader feel ashamed of himself. She has enough energy left over after a nasty session of torture to insult Grand Moff Tarkin. And while she grieves when her home planet Alderaan is destroyed by the Death Star, Leia's not paralyzed. When her unexpected rescuers show up, she's ready to go and to gripe about their operational sloppiness. And then she went on to write, Leia wasn't just the first great heroine of science fiction and fantasy to capture my imagination. She was one of the first characters I encountered whose power came from her political conviction and acumen. So when Han, Chewie, and Luke do arrive to rescue her, she pretty much instantly asserts her authority. And she, this leads to conflict between her and Han Solo, who isn't used to having someone tell him what to do. He calls her sweetheart, but Leia is totally impervious to his attempts to take control. She also proves she's got more savvy and less bravado than Han after they escape. And she surmises they're being tracked by the Empire, who let them go. And Han's like, no, not this ship, never. Because he's too cocky to admit it. She's right. He's wrong. Despite the tragedy she's gone through, she assumes leadership in the rebellion. And also, look, Luke is my crush. I know he's had a rough time. Leia comforts him after Obi-Wan dies, but Leia just lost her whole planet. And she knew Obi-Wan too, by the way. And we never get to see her grieve. And okay, I know people like to fight about this because I said it on another show and man, that she grieved off screen and Luke did lose his guardians, which was very sad and traumatic. I agree. But
but it was also very quickly passed by. I remember wait, that was it?
Yeah. He kind of just is like, well, I'm leaving now. And I don't judge people for how they grieve. That's totally cool. I'm just saying, you know, we don't get to see her grieve because I guess it's not technically her story. It's explored some of the extended universe legends.
Right. I will say throughout the movie, she takes everything with like, okay, what?
And
let me keep going. Like, I was like very much like, that seems like she should be a pause of some sort.
Well, we'll talk about that more in a minute. Well, no, we'll talk about that more in part two because a lot of people gripe about the Return of the Jedi reveal. I see her as someone who takes things in stride.
Right.
But anyway, also of the characters, Leia perhaps has the least of an arc. And a part of that is she is the most sure of in herself and her calling when we're introduced to her. Her biggest thing is learning to accept that she has needs and wants on a personal level and embracing those things. Han and Luke have a lot of growing up to do. And Leia is instrumental in that for both of them, even at the heart of it. She influences Luke and Han to become a part of the rebellion. She's already a hero when we meet her. And she influences them to become heroes, too. She does often serve as a support to Luke's story and to Han's story. And in the first two is the potential romantic interest for both of them. She's more developed and interesting a character than perhaps your traditional love interest, but there is still an element of that. All right. So, New Hope ends. Big explosion, Death Star. Happy, here are your medals. Then we move on to The Empire Strikes Back, in which Leia is a prominent leader of the rebellion who stays behind to the very last second to make sure everyone is safely evacuated off of the snow planet Hoth. We see her relationship with Han, and in today's context, it's a little cringy. Just because he's so pushy and doesn't take no for an answer. I definitely want to return to the whole nice men scoundrel trope that plays out here. And it is kind of funny that she's trying to manage all of this stuff, all of this evacuation, and Han is just trying to get her to admit that she cares about him. And I know the stakes are high because he's basically trying to get her to admit he wants him to stay or he's going to leave. But anyway, there's a definite unthaw the Ice Queen vibe too. And Lando is pretty flirty with her. Although Lando is the type who flirts with everyone, my friend and I have an ongoing argument about whether or not he had sex with the Millennium Falcon. Weigh in on that if you would like. Or don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the first thing she said when he arrived. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. But what?
We had like an hour plus long argument about it. and Lando's also trying to make sure they don't get wind that Vader's there. So he's trying to endear himself to them. But we do see another instance of a woman sensing that something is wrong and being dismissed when Leia voices her concerns about Lando's trustworthiness. Han, Leia, and Chewie are captured and tortured by Darth Vader, though you only really see Han's torture and I guess Chewbacca with the loud sound thing.
Wait, isn't that gold dude?
Oh.
Little gold man?
Gold man dude. Gets blasted apart, yeah.
Right. I was like, what? Did no one notice that?
Chewbacca did.
He came back.
And Leia did too. Han was the one that was like, ah! and then we have the famous I love you, I know exchange. So there are so many ways to interpret this, but one is that in the face of Han's death, she admits something she knew she'd made him doubt, that she loves him. And he acknowledges his understanding of her fear of intimacy and accepts it. As a kid, I always saw it as Han Solo's too afraid to say it in front of all these soldiers and Darth Vader. But, you know, multiple ways to interpret those lines. Some people take issue with the fact that Han asked Chewie to take care of her when clearly she can do it herself, while others see those words as meant to comfort Chewie, to give him something to do, to calm him down. When Lando frees them, Leia takes charge of the ultimately failed attempt to save Han and does save Luke after sensing his call for help. And we do get to see her pilot the Millennium Falcon, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I was very confused about what was happening. And you made sure to let me know that this is where Harrison Ford said, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
So they had to have a possibility of just ending him or allowing him to come back. So,
well, the only reason he came back to Return of the Jedi was he was supposed to be killed off and then they didn't do it.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to end it here with the end of part one.
Yes.
Our heroes, your heroes, the heroes, how about that, are battered and separated. And in part two, yes, y'all, after an hour of this lengthy discussion, there is a part two.
Yes.
And it's about the Return of the Jedi and the infamous metal bikini, which is the one scene that I know, and the feminism of Princess Leia and of the Force in general.
Yes. So we'll leave you on a cliffhanger, just like those lucky viewers that got to see Empire Strikes Back and didn't know what happened in Return of the Jedi. So look out for that episode. In the meantime, if you want to email us, you can. Our email is stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can also find us on Instagram at Stuff Mom Never Told You or on Twitter at Mom Stuff Podcast. Thanks as always to our super producer, Andrew Howard. And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I've Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.